and welcome to the Your Home podcast. I am producer Jane Neild. I'm in the studio with Stavros Ambazidis. And of course, you can go back and listen to previous episodes of the show. We've had some incredible guests on, Stav. George Columbaris, Matthew Richardson.
We've had Andrew Bogart, Anastasia from Gogglebox, and John Fung. Who else? Fred Harrison from Richie. So,
but someone who's been on your list, Stav, that you said to me, without a doubt, we need to get Shayna Blaze on the show. And of course, The Block, an absolute juggernaut on Channel 9 again this year. It's auction season. It's spring selling season. So let's welcome in interior designer, one of the judges on The Block, the star of Country Home Rescue, her own reno show, Shayna Blaze. Thank you so much for making some time to be on the Your Home podcast.
Oh, I think this is great. I get to be on the last episode of yours.
Yes, sadly, it is the last episode that I'll be doing with Stav. But I think, Stav, you're going to continue on, but I'm off to work at the ABC. But Shayna, thank you for your time. And it is that time of year, really, though, when I guess you see it a fair bit as well. People just go a little bit nuts for real estate, especially in a place like Melbourne in the spring. What's the sort of vibe that you're getting?
Look, I think the thing is with... we've been very quiet, Stav, you would agree with that. But I know quite a few people that are getting their houses ready for styling and making it happen. And people like, right, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's on the market now. Very excited to see what's out there. And I think people are sort of like lifting their heads up and really excited to see what's out there on the market. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. There's not a lot of stock. It's probably about 20% down to this time last year at the moment. But what's really interesting is that the market in Australia, especially the market in Australia, has lifted. People have lifted their game, and it's because of people like you, Shayna, lifting the bar, lifting the bar with your own show that you did. That was in Kyneton, from memory.
Which
my wife and I loved and watched. But people are now styling their home. It's not just about putting it on the internet, getting photos, whether it's dusk or day, but they're spending time getting the home ready, whether it's a building inspection done on a property. What would you do if you were selling your home today in this market? What tips could you give our listeners?
Look, I think the fact that there's 20% that's not on the market and, you know, people are a little bit wary, you've got to sell them the dream. Like, you know, look at the area that you're in. Look at what your house has that's unique and really, you know, amp that up. Is it the indoor-outdoor living? Well, really amp up the styling, really amp up that dream that, like, oh, I cannot walk out of here. Or is it the layout with where all the bedrooms are? Make the bedrooms really beautiful in the fact that you style them, you know, for kids, for family, or if they're, you know, for singles or for, you know, couples, make sure that it fits that demographic. I think the worst thing for styling is when you miss the mark of who the demographic are walking in. So you've got to get the demographic, and you have to get the dream. Like, what is the dream that people want to buy, and what is the unique thing about your house?
Yeah, you've definitely got to know your market. I think that's what's important, Jane. You've got to know your market, and you've got to have that emotional connection. So the minute you walk in the door, you've got to be connected. So that's what sells properties. It's that emotion. And people have got to tick their boxes. There's always four things that tick boxes. You know, one is location, one is, you know, people's situation, one is the accommodation, and of course, one is timing. And I think if you can actually lock in the emotional side of it, you've got them won over.
Shayna, I look on real estate sites because I'm just obsessed. I can't help it. I've bought a house. I'm not looking to rent or to buy, but I still somehow just find it very relaxing looking at real estate listings. I still see a lot of people that obviously just can't bear to get rid of all their crap. Let's be honest. And Stav, you must see this as well. But do you think that people really need to commit to the process, that if they are going to go on the market, pack it up, get a storage unit, and just get rid of all the clutter? Have you got any advice on that front?
Look, to tell you the truth, I see a lot of them and I go straight away, oh, that's a rental. Yeah. Because it's just like, you know, it's got the couch with the doona over the top of it, or a throw, or there's no care in the styling. So it's a really obvious thing. If you're selling a house and somebody's renting in it and they're not treating it as a sale, it really can work against you because it puts people off when they're walking in. I definitely agree, like, decluttering is one of the most essential things, getting rid of it, because people open your doors and drawers too. So if people have just shoved things in the cupboards thinking that no one will notice, oh no, people open doors because they want to see how much storage they've got, what they can put in. So you've got to make sure, and on top of that, it's not just decluttering. Everywhere people touch, like, you know, what are the handles like? What is the weight like? Like, some people don't even clean their door handles, and you go to put your hand on the door handle and it's dirty. And so they're really essential things to look at, because people are very judgmental and they want the dream and they don't want to have to work too hard for it.
And the thing is, it's our expectations now, Jane. As buyers, we expect it to be styled and presented correctly. It's like many years ago, Shana, we'd go and get a coffee and it was all you got was a coffee. Then all of a sudden, I started getting a little smiley face on my coffee. Then I started getting a little biscuit on my coffee. And the day I didn't get the smiley face or biscuit, I felt, hang on, what's going on here? It didn't meet my expectations. So these expectations have actually been created, and now the market, the buyers expect it. We need to sell them a story. So by styling it, we're actually heading them in the right direction. I grew up on a farm, Shana. My dad used to say, how do you get the cattle in the truck? You build barriers. That's how you get them in the truck. So we're doing the same thing here. We're styling it according with the demographics. So I think that's very, very wise.
Yeah. And I think also, you know what you were talking about, like when I started selling houses in Australia, everybody wanted the display home look. And like that was, everybody had this just white, a bit of chocolate, that's all it was. And so there was no soul. There was no soul in the houses. And as you said, you know, selling the dream, it's a whole different part in that people want the warmth. They don't want the cliche. They don't want the baked bread. They don't want the smell of coffee. You know, everyone's savvy and smart. They've seen all the shows. So people want to walk in and feel like, one, someone has lived there, but they don't want to put up with their crap.
Yes, that's right. So who inspires you? Who's your inspiration?
Look, I think life is my inspiration. I don't tend to follow a lot of designers because I think that there's certain styles that suit certain things. I think for me, I work with a lot of trend forecasters, and I see what the colours are, and I see what, you know, what we're looking at for textures, and I see what we're looking at for certain designs. But I think we live in a world now where it has to suit the environment of where it's going into. So I tend to sort of take everything in from nature, take everything in from what the world is doing, and then when a job comes along, then I just go, okay, I'm going to take a bit of this and I'm going to take a bit of that. Definitely no cookie cutter. I tend to stay away from lots of Instagram and Pinterest. My clients will bring Pinterest pages to me and I just like, yeah, put it aside. We're not working on that, because everyone's caught up in the photograph. They're caught up in the what's happening, what's now. That will, as soon as you start working on it, it's already dated. So I think that's the important thing, of that I stay away from short-term trends. I stay away from fashion. I look what's happening there, because I might do a display that's going to last 6 months or 12 months. But I think the thing is that we need to look at what is the brief, which is what you were talking about before, is like, you know, how do you find all these 4 points that people need? So you've got to have your brief. That's my inspiration.
Well, you've definitely been a huge inspiration to a lot of people, especially in my industry, because in my industry at the moment, there's a lot of other TV shows, you know, selling whatever, whether it's selling Sunset or selling New York, or even a nice Sydney show that's on TV at the moment. And it glorifies real estate and it doesn't actually show what real estate's really about. You know, we haven't invented penicillin or cured cancer. We're real estate agents, and what we're trying to do is solve people's problems. And I think you've been a huge inspiration. I can't wait to watch you every Sunday night. You weren't on last Sunday night, so I was very disappointed. The cricket was on. So I'm going to watch you tonight.
It was changed to Monday because sport, like, you know, as much as we love Renos, we're a big sporting country. So, you know, we do have the Monday reveals. That's fine. But, you know, it's back to Sundays. Well, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. And I think the thing is that, you know, I've been doing it for around 30 years and I didn't start off in sort of this part of it, of the renovating. I started in commercial and I started in, you know, restaurants, cafes, corporate areas, and then moved into the home. And so by the time you get into the home after that, you have specific brief. You have to nut everything out. So I sort of feel like my corporate training at the beginning really helped me with my briefs rather than just doing it pure emotion.
Shana, I think you're also to blame for the fact that Stav's wife became a bit of a property investor as well. She was so inspired, she started flipping houses.
Yep.
Do you feel as though the flipping phenomenon is going to continue, or with the shortage of properties on the market, do you think people have to be a little bit more careful about thinking, oh, I can give it a bit of a zhuzh and I'll make 200 grand in 6 months?
I think that's completely changed. There's so much out there about flipping houses, but you know, we still have supply issues. We have the, you know, the build issues. Things aren't being done quickly unless you have your own reno team and you're looking at doing physical work yourself. It's very hard to get those profits. But then, you know, somebody might just do something that, like, you know, they've bought a house and have made so much out of it. But that tends to be in the higher end, not in your lower sort of like 300,000 up to, you know, a million. What you've got to put in to sell the dream is quite high. So unless you're physically doing all the labour, it's very hard to make that quick profit of what it used to be.
Yeah, my advice on that is it's definitely changed. I know Xenia did 3 jobs in the last 2 years and it worked really well. But now to add value, you've almost got to split properties. So you're buying a property where you can add value, but you've got to split it because of the shortage in property, whether it's the rental crisis or the selling crisis. If you can split it and create 2 out of 1, that's where the, you know, that's where you can actually profit. And that's what, you know, the market needs at the moment, needs more properties.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that, you know, from all the shows and people doing it, and there's lots of courses out there, everybody's onto it. Mm. And there's lots of people snapping up properties and lots of people, you know, that aren't making the money that they thought they were going to. I went to a seminar and there was these couples that, you know, ended up talking about their experience to try and encourage the people going into the next one. And I thought, oh, it wasn't really good examples because these people worked 12 months and ended up with 20,000 profit. And I'm like, you just gave up 12 months of your life and you've only walked away with 20 grand. Sounds a bit like the block. But it, you know, it does depend what's available to you and what the area is going to be. And I think, you know, what you were saying, Stav, that's where it's sitting, splitting the property. You need advice from your real estate agent. You need advice of what's going because you know what's selling. Mm. And so, you know, buying a property and thinking that you've got the answers, it takes a team. It really does.
Shana, before we let you go, little rumours that you might be moving towards the investing side of things as well. Can you give us any tips or what's on the future horizon for you when it comes to buying, selling, renovating?
Look, I think the thing is I'm in this great position now where I have my properties and I can work one against the other. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to get into it only because I just do it every day, that the thought of doing more of it was just, you know, killed me. It was too much. Whereas now I've got the quiet time. I've actually stopped my interior design business after 20 years. And so now it's time for me to create the properties, not so much flipping, but it's about sort of doing some properties that can be worked.
You heard it here first.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Shana. And I've got to say before we go, what's been, I mean, 20 plus years at the block, what's been your favourite season?
Oh, how can you do that? I can't even remember them all right off the top of my head.
Favourite and put the most interesting story that you could come up with. So not favourite, so that way we're not playing favourites.
I think the hardest thing was the Gatwick. That was the most interesting because of the history and because of the size of it, and the contestants really struggled with the shape, and a lot of the things that they came out with was really quite flat, and it was just one of those ones where that because of that season that we expected more. So by the time we went to Grey Street, we said we want colour, we want pattern, we want energy. So I think it sort of comes out of, like, you know, the Gatwick was a very difficult series to actually make something work. And so by the time that we went to the next one, that's why we have Grey Street that was just so much bigger, brighter and better, is because of the pressure we put on them.
There you go. And next year, Phillip Island.
I've just come back from holidays and heard myself. I have no idea. I know somebody's put up some information about it. It's not around the corner.
No, but lucky enough, we've got an O'Brien real estate in Phillip Island in Cowes, and we've been contacted, so...
You might need to get a little place for Shana to stay, I think.
Well, we've got O'Brien Real Estate, Wonthaggi, Warragul, Druin, and Bairnsdale and Cowes. So there's a few offices around that sort of Gippsland area. There you go.
Well, you need to get on it and be part of the auction next year.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, it's a sore spot because Daylesford was meant to have it. And Shana, that would have been a nice little country drive from your place in Trentham. And yes, planning issues, bit of a VCAT situation happened, and devastating for that area. I've seen quite a lot of the local social media that people are very unimpressed that they lost that opportunity. So
really?
I did not know that. Phillip Island, there you go, Stav.
Yeah, so and in Mornington, I've got three properties in a row in Mornington. I've got to buy two more and then I'll give you a call.
I don't think they could afford Mornington. Yeah. That's high stakes.
Yeah. Shana, thank you so much for taking time to join us on the Your Home podcast. If you want more of Shana Blaze, there is also a podcast called Homestyle with Shana Blaze, 68 episodes in the can, and you can go back and listen to all sorts of stuff. Shana and I chatting about all things DIY and design. We had Scotty on the block in one of those episodes who actually took the oven from the Gatwick, that episode, that series of the block Shana just spoke about, craned it out and put it in his country property. So if you want to go back and listen to those interviews, you can join Shana and I on Homestyle. Shana Blaze, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Stav. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Island.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, she really is an inspiration, isn't she, Stav? Shana Blaze.
She sure is. And I know my wife you know, loves watching and getting ideas from her, but especially my wife's business partner, who's my cousin, Kerry. So Kerry Stamatakos, she would love to meet Shana Blaze at some point.
I have to say, after working with Shana on a podcast for a couple of years, one of the most lovely and authentic people I have met in the industry, who is just the same on camera as she is off.
Yeah, that was lovely. But we had a huge event happen during the week.
Tell me about it.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, what have you done? What huge high-profile event you've been on.
It wasn't the grand final. It wasn't the AFL. It was your birthday, so happy birthday.
Thank you. And you know what? Like, you know, it's not quite 50 yet, but 49. And I was kind of like, you know, I've got a new job coming, and sadly this is my last episode with you. But I actually have to thank you as well, Stav, because I sat there on my birthday in my not completely renovated, in fact, it's a long way from renovated, country house. We've been doing this podcast since lockdown a couple of years ago in the midst of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And there I was getting ready to host my little birthday gathering at my new house in the country, which I've done a lot of work on, nowhere near finished renovating, thinking, you know what? Life's pretty good. Mm. I never, ever dreamt that I would have my dream job here and where I'm heading to at the ABC, but also my dream country house. And whilst there's been some challenges, I don't know, there's just something pretty awesome about thinking, I can do this. I'm here and I can do this. So thank you, because I think you and Shana Blaze both, because I was doing podcasts with you, inspired me to actually, number one, find out how much my little investment property was in Ballarat was worth, made twice as much money as I ever thought I could, and then buy a property without really overthinking it. And I managed to get into the market in the town that
at
I'm
the
in,
right time.
In regional Vic. If I'd thought about that too much, would never have purchased it. I literally just went, what can go that wrong? And managed to get in before the prices really blew up. So thank you, Stav.
No, it's been such a journey. And we did about 50 episodes under Direct Connect together.
Yeah.
And then this year we decided to do our own podcast. So you've been part of my growth, and I'm going to miss you immensely.
And you're officially now a podcaster.
Yeah.
So, Stav, we did speak a little bit there with Shana about the state of the market, but one thing I wanted to ask you about, because heading into summer, we're getting that vibe. I heard on the block the other day Scotty say that the most searched term on domain at the moment was swimming pool. Does that strike you as interesting?
That is a huge surprise. I've got to say, I'm glad, because most people in Victoria don't really have pools. That's probably a search item in Queensland or northern New South Wales.
Oh, true, yeah.
But down here, it's usually the first thing they search for is heating.
That's climate change for you.
That's right. But that's such a good result to hear that, because I think maybe it's because of the new heating systems in pools, with whether it's solar heating or gas heating or electric heating. But that's such good news. Maybe it's the plunge pool era.
Yeah, well, I think they're doing plunges on the block this year. But, yeah, that sort of strikes me as interesting, because I know sort of 4 or 5 years ago when I was looking for rentals in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, pools, people didn't want a bar of them. No one wanted a place with a pool. In fact, people were filling in their pools in these suburban areas.
Yeah.
But now, I guess for people listening that might have a pool, it's an asset, and people are obviously going, lifestyle, it's getting a lot warmer. We know that it's going to be a hot summer. Yeah. It's actually something you could really capitalise on your block.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think it must be the plunge pool era, because the big pools are gone. You know, those huge 60,000 litre pools. Mm. I've got one in one of my properties, and it takes forever to clean. You're forever using chemicals or whatever it is. But the new age pools, whether they're salt chlorinated or ozone pools, but they're a lot smaller. Mm. They're quicker to heat up. So that might be just the efficiency of them, might be the transition. But I think it's a great lifestyle change. People are maybe staying at home a lot more, but I'm very surprised to hear that fact.
Mm.
So I don't know everything about real estate.
There you go.
Obviously.
Coming up, episodes of The Block coming up where they're doing the landscaping and putting in those little plunge pools. So interesting to see that change in the market. The other thing I wanted to touch on, Stav, that's kind of happened in the last few weeks is some massive changes nationally and statewide to legislation around building approvals and housing applications, where we're now going to see people be able to build a granny flat or a second dwelling on their property without much of the red tape that's existed in the past. Is this a good thing for you in the real estate industry? Is this a bad thing? Or have you got sort of feedback from the industry as to those changes?
Look, all changes are controversial, but at the moment, we do have a crisis, and it's a housing crisis. The amount of calls I get on a daily basis, you know, Stav, can you assist me? I've got a good client or a friend or an employee, and they're ringing me because sometimes it's who you know, it's not what you know.
Mm.
But the problem we have as agents to put a renter into a property is it's serviceability and affordability. So when there's 10 applications coming in on a property, you've got a duty of care for the landlord or the rental provider to put in the right applicant, not the one that you know the best. So it gets a little bit awkward. Something like this scheme, I think, is a good thing, because it's providing more homes and more housing. We can't have people living on the streets or the prices to keep going up where people can't afford to live or rent properties. But there are a lot of changes coming through that the government's doing. There's the absentee owner tax that's coming in.
Yeah, so which is basically if you've got it, you need to use it. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, or you're going to pay a lot of money for
it. That's right. So you either, and that applies for blocks of land too. That used to apply usually around the Docklands area, because we had a lot of overseas investors buying in and just land banking or holding onto properties. But now it's gone out to the suburbs. So they're proposing that this will come out. So if you don't use it, you lose it, or you pay for it. So that's what they're trying to do.
Do you know how much it is? Because I actually don't know the stats. So say I own $1 million house in Glen Waverley, don't want to rent it out, not necessarily living in it. It might be an overseas investor just holding on to that property. Yeah. If it's worth $1 million, do you know how much the tax is going to be?
No, we don't, because it hasn't been legislated yet.
Okay.
It's a proposal, and I'd suggest this proposal will come into fruition quite quickly. So the other changes that have happened is the land tax is going up on the 31st of December this year. So the way land tax works, if people don't know, is the government takes a snapshot of what is in your name on the 31st, so New Year's Eve. Okay, so it's Happy New Year.
Hi, tax. Whack.
Yeah, whack. But so they take a snapshot. So if you buy a property today but it doesn't settle till the 10th of January, that doesn't fall under your name. So that's how that works. A lot of people ask me. So that threshold's come down to about $50,000 now. So they'll be taxable on your, not your principal place of residence, but all your other properties.
So and if you've got some land or a holiday house.
Yep. But that's just for the state of Victoria, because land tax is a state tax, not a federal tax. So the way to avoid this sort of thing, some tips out there for some listeners, and again, this isn't financial advice, speak to your own accountant, but maybe own one investment in Victoria, one in Queensland, one in New South Wales, one in South Australia, one in WA.
Spread the risk,
but land tax only applies for that property here in Victoria. Okay, and so there is a way of actually, you know, minimising your tax. So that's a new thing that's coming in as well. Absentee owner and land tax is kicking in very shortly.
Well, and also back to the granny flat thing, I was just thinking that like your head must be swimming with so many changes. I mean, at the time we've done this podcast, there was like 200 new benchmark, you know, bits of legislation that came in for rental providers, we used to call landlords. So it has been a really, really sort of full-on time in the industry in the last couple of years. One of the things I remember from an interview we did with the head of the real estate industry in Queensland was the fact that we've got to get more houses back onto the market. People are just staying in their homes and not downsizing, especially in that older age bracket. Just thinking then of the granny flats, is this the window now for people to go, you know what, I don't want to go into aged care. I would love to live in my son or daughter's backyard. We can build a beautiful, I mean, a granny flat is not really a granny flat anymore. Look at the amazing studio apartments on the block, that they can actually build a purpose-built second dwelling on a block. They can downsize from the big home that they've maybe been clinging onto in the suburbs, and that this might finally be the lever that we need to get more people to finally make that decision to downsize, freeing up a whole lot of property.
Yeah, see, the governments get scrutinised for decisions they make, but I think this one could be a good one. And I'll give you a case study. On Saturday, we auctioned a property at 5 Langrig Avenue in Edithvale. It was about 700 square metres. Now, this property, the vendor moved in. It was built in 1951, and he moved in 1952.
Wow.
So that's back at a time 70 where...
70 plus years.
Well, talk about that. It's at a time where Geelong won their fifth premiership against Collingwood, right? But more importantly, it's when Princess Elizabeth was coronated, became Queen Elizabeth. Yes. Like, we're talking about a lifetime.
Yeah.
Now, on this property, it easily would have fitted a granny flat in the backyard because it's quite a large block. Okay, so there's a good example where that could have been utilised and allowed and benefited. So it's got to be a benefit to the residents and a benefit to the market, and I think it can be a benefit.
How do you keep up with all these changes, Stav?
Well, there was 132 changes, I think, what, March 29, a couple of years ago, and we had to get upskilled very quickly. And we're consistently getting upskilled all the time. But real estate's changed, Jane. It used to take up, you know, maybe 5 full days to get your agent's rep licence. It's now taking up to 9 months.
Oh, wow.
It's gone from 3 subjects, I think, to 28. So there you go.
Okay. Well, and I think for the average person like me who is not so in the loop with the industry, it does make sense, though, that you actually go to a real estate person like yourself and actually get some decent advice. Because if you think you can make sense of this whole situation we're in at the moment, perhaps you're sitting on a really good investment opportunity. Like you say, perhaps you could be adding a second dwelling.
Yeah.
I think getting some really good advice is always a great place to start.
Yeah, giving options. I think understanding your market, as Shana said, you've got to understand your market. Very, very important. Understand where you're trying to lead the client to. Is it a student accommodation area? Is it an ethnic area? Is it a family area? Is it an investment area? So, like, we've got one for sale. It's going to auction this Saturday at 424 Queen's Parade in Fitzroy North. That is just a beautiful old, you know, heritage listed home. That's going to attract a certain demographic, and it's, you know, you've got to really pitch it to that demographic, and that's what it's all about.
Well, they say that on the block, isn't it? It's like, know your buyer. Know your buyer. It's always the best place to start, isn't it?
Geez, I reminisce to the first episode of The Block this year where they did the children's room. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And one of the couples really missed the mark.
Steph and Gian didn't even put any kid stuff in it.
Nothing. So, you know, you've got to really read the room, understand what's going on. Don't do what you want to do. Try and get into the shoes of the person that you're trying to attract.
Yep, the mindset of the buyer. Well, Stav, thank you so much. All the best with the podcast moving forward.
Yes.
I can't wait to keep listening. Because
you'll be sorely missed. I've been telling my team during the week how much we've been through. You've come to our gala events. We've done a lot through COVID. There'd be no one in the studios except maybe you and I. So you're going to be sorely missed. And, you know, we love you very much. And thank you for everything.
Oh, and thank you, like I said, for inspiring me to make a massive change in my life, which so far has just turned out to be the best thing I've ever done. Yeah. So just think of me in my little not quite renovated country home, and anytime you're heading down that highway to Ballarat, I expect you to pop in for a cuppa.
Love to.